Benjamin Franklin. If you should go to Boston today, you should be sure to visit Old South Church. Just across the street from this church, Benjamin Franklin was born. His father, Josiah Franklin, was an English silk dyer who came to America in 1682 because here he could worship according to his own beliefs. At that time, the people of England did not have religious freedom. Everyone was supposed to attend the Church of England. Upon his arrival at Boston, the older Franklin found that there was little demand for his skill as dyer. The women in the colony spun and wove the cloth out of which they later made the clothes for their entire families. Often the suits and dresses were not dyed, but when that was necessary, the women themselves did the work. Josiah Franklin had a wife and three children to support, so he became a candle and soap maker. At that time, candles were used instead of lamps. Gas and electricity were not even known. Benjamin was the 15th child of Josiah Franklin. The family was poor, and the examples of thrift and saving that Benjamin saw practiced daily made a lasting impression on him. He began to read so early that he never remembered having been taught his letters. His father placed him in school when he was 8 years old, and he remained there for 2 years. Then several of his older brothers left home to enter business for themselves, so Benjamin was taken into his father's shop. There he helped his father for the next 2 years by cutting wicks and filling candle molds with melted tallow. Not all of young Franklin's time was spent in study or in his father's shop. He was fond of swimming, fishing, and boating. A nearby pond was his favorite resort on a sunny day. There he was very popular with the other boys. One day he brought a large kite down to the pond with him. Without telling his playmates what he was about to do, he undressed and then flew the kite. It sailed up and out over the water. Then he tied the string about his waist and waded out several yards. The kite was pulling and tugging. The breeze was strong. Stretching out flat upon his stomach and grasping the string firmly, Franklin let the kite pull him across the pond. The new sport soon became very popular with the other lads in the neighborhood. Until he was 12 years old, Benjamin helped his father make soap and candles. At this time, he became so dissatisfied with the work that he talked of running away to sea. His father discouraged that idea, but began to look for a trade for the boy to follow. The father and son visited bricklayers, glaziers, weavers, carpenters, and cutlers, but the boy did not like any of the work he saw. About this time, James Franklin, an elder brother of Benjamin, returned from England with a press and enough type to open a printing shop. Franklin's father grasped the opportunity to place the restless boy in a trade where he might read and study. He was apprenticed to his brother James, who was to feed and clothe him until he was 21, in return for his services. During that time, Benjamin was to be taught the trade of printer. Only during the last year of his apprenticeship was he to receive a small wage. James Franklin started a newspaper in Boston, and Benjamin became the boy of all work in the shop. His brothers sometimes treated him cruelly, but he enjoyed his work and liked to read everything that he saw in print. The printing shop was the meeting place of writers and thinkers of the day, and young Benjamin listened eagerly to their conversation. While working at some task, he thought over all he had heard. Once in a while, he wrote out different ideas that occurred to him, but he was afraid to show them to his brother. He believed one little article that he wrote was so good it ought to be printed. He hid it away a long time between the pages of a book. At last, he thought of a way to bring it to his brother's attention without letting him know who had written it. That night, he slipped the folded piece of paper under the door of the printing office. The next morning, James Franklin found it. As Benjamin watched him reading it, his heart nearly stood still. Suddenly, James exclaimed, "I like this. I wonder who wrote it." And he placed it with the papers that were to be printed that day. The unknown author continued to slip articles under the door of the printing shop, and James Franklin continued to print them. At last, Benjamin confessed that he was the writer, and he became a person of some value in the eyes of his brother and his friends. Several articles that James Franklin printed in his paper displeased the authorities in the colony, and he was arrested and thrown into jail. Benjamin was about 16 years old at that time, and for several months until the release of his brother, he ran the paper. There had been a shipwreck off the New England coast, and Benjamin wrote a poem about the event, which he printed and sold on the streets of Boston. Another sailor song he wrote was also very popular. His father said that the poems were poor and that he was wasting his time thinking about them. When James returned from jail, the two brothers quarreled more and more. Finally, Benjamin decided to leave his brother. James went to all the printers in Boston and got their promise not to hire the boy. Since he could find no work at his trade in that city, he determined to go elsewhere. He sold his books and few trinkets and boarded a sailing vessel bound for New York. Later in life, he said it was a great mistake to leave home without bidding friends and family goodbye. After a few days at sea, Franklin landed at New York. There he went to see William Bradford, the only printer in the town. Bradford had little work and plenty of hands, so he was not in a position to hire the young printer. However, he told him of an opportunity in the shop of a relative in Philadelphia and urged the boy to go there. In those times, it took several days to make the trip from New York to Philadelphia. Now it could be done in 2 hours. Franklin boarded another sailing boat whose captain planned to sail around New Jersey, then up the Delaware Bay and river to Philadelphia. While in Long Island Sound, the boat was overtaken by a violent storm and very nearly wrecked. After 30 hours, the hungry, dripping, seasick passengers were landed at Amboy on the New Jersey coast. From there, the young traveler made his way afoot across the state to Burlington. At that town, after a short wait, he boarded a rowboat that was going to Philadelphia. The men of the party rowed until late at night. In the darkness, they were certain they had passed their destination, so they landed on the New Jersey shore, where they camped until morning. When day broke, they could see Philadelphia in the distance. The party rowed across the river and landed at Market Street Wharf about 9 o'clock. From the wharf, Franklin walked up Market Street. Soon he spied a baker's boy with a basket of bread on his arm. He thought of how hungry he was, so he asked the boy to direct him to a baker's shop. The boy told him where to go, and when he reached the place, he went in and asked for 3 biscuits such as he had known in Boston. The baker did not have any, so Franklin asked for 3 pennies worth of bread of any sort. He was surprised when he was given 3 large rolls. Not knowing what to do with so much bread, he placed a roll under each arm and stepped out into the street, gnawing the 3rd one. He walked out Market Street past the home of Miss Deborah Reed, who was standing in the doorway. She could not help smiling at the queer figure he made. His clothing was creased and his shoes were dusty. His pockets were stuffed with extra socks and shirts. He might easily have been mistaken for a runaway servant. Deborah Reed would have smiled still more if some fairy had allowed her to peep into the future and to see the young man passing before her munching a roll as the world-famous Franklin, and herself at his side as Mrs. Franklin. It was Sunday morning, and the Quakers were walking slowly out Market Street toward their meeting house. Franklin followed and entered the building. Soon he became drowsy and fell asleep. After the service was ended, a kind old Quaker aroused him. This man welcomed him to the Quaker City and found a boarding place for him. The next day Franklin went to see the printer, Bradford. He did not have work for the boy, but sent him to another man named Keimer, who hired him and who was well pleased with his new employee. At that time, Philadelphia was the capital of the province of Pennsylvania. Benjamin Franklin soon came to the notice of Governor Keith, who suggested that an up-to-date printing shop be set up in the town with the young man at its head. Franklin was pleased and flattered at the governor's attention and made a journey to Boston to secure his father's aid in buying a press and type. His father welcomed his returned son, but was unable and unwilling to set him up in business. When he returned to Philadelphia, the governor still urged his plan and suggested that Franklin go to England to purchase his supplies. The governor promised letters of credit to friends there. After many delays, Franklin sailed on the annual ship from Philadelphia to London, being assured that letters of introduction were in the hands of the captain. Imagine his disappointment upon his arrival in London when he found that the easygoing Governor Keith had failed in his promise. Friendless and almost penniless in the largest city in the world, Franklin soon found work at his trade. He remained in London for 18 months, and while there met many famous people and visited many noted places. The printers in the shop in which he worked drank beer to make them strong. Franklin argued that beer had little food value because it was nearly all water. The part that was not water was harmful, he said. He drank pure water and was able to do more work with less effort than his fellow workers. They called him the Water American. After Franklin had been in London a year and a half, he met a Philadelphia merchant who was returning with a stock of goods. This man persuaded Franklin to return to America and act as his clerk. Franklin accepted the offer and worked in a store for a time, but upon the death of his employer, he returned to printing. About this time, a newspaper, the Pennsylvania Gazette, was offered for sale. As he had saved a little money, Franklin bought the paper. Soon he secured the contract for printing the paper money for the colony, and he was on the road to become a successful man. In 1732, Franklin began to print an almanac under the name of Richard Saunders. This became the famous Poor Richard's Almanac. It was published yearly and was filled with quaint sayings and homely advice such as, "Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. God helps those who help themselves. A word to the wise is enough. Well done is better than well said. Have something to do tomorrow? Do it today. Drive thy work, let not thy work drive thee. Make haste slowly. A penny saved is a penny made. One today is worth two tomorrows. Speak little, do much. A slip of the foot you may soon recover, but a slip of the tongue you may never get over." The almanac contained information about crop planting and the weather. Children often carried it to school and used it for a reading book. During the period from 1740 until the Revolution, no other book except the Bible was so widely read in the colonies. The almanac was translated into many foreign languages and helped to spread the fame of Franklin abroad. Benjamin Franklin was a man of method and order. He set aside a certain part of the day for work and another part for reading and studying. He lived according to rule. During his spare moments, he learned Latin, French, Spanish, and Italian. The people of Philadelphia elected him to the assembly where he helped to make the laws for the Commonwealth. He also became postmaster of the city, and later was postmaster general of all the colonies. He was interested in making Philadelphia a model city. He constantly urged upon the citizens the need of street paving. He improved the smoky street lamps so that they would burn brightly until morning. He invented the Franklin stove, which gradually took the place of the wasteful fireplace mode of heating. Systems of paid police protection and street cleaning that he suggested were adopted. Together with a number of friends, Franklin started a free library, which was the first one of its kind in the world. A college that he founded has grown into the University of Pennsylvania, and the Pennsylvania Hospital which he started is still in existence. If you look on the front of the Saturday Evening Post, you will find something interesting about Benjamin Franklin. It says that he began to publish that weekly journal in 1728. When Franklin was about 45 years old, he became very much interested in electricity. One day, while watching the lightning flash during a heavy storm, it occurred to him that possibly lightning and electricity were the same thing. After the idea came to him, he could not rest until he had either proved or disproved it. For a long time, he thought about the matter. At last, he thought he had solved the problem. He made a large kite out of two strong sticks and a big silk handkerchief. To this, he fastened a long hemp cord. Then he waited until the next heavy storm. At last, the dark clouds rolled up, and he knew that soon he would be able to prove whether or not the lightning and electricity were the same thing. Just before it began to rain, he called his son William and gave him the kite and ball of string to carry. As Franklin stepped out of his doorway, he took the big brass key out of the lock and slipped it into his pocket. William did not know what to think because he had never heard of anyone flying kites in a thunderstorm. The two went out Market Street to an old cowshed that stood on the side of the present City Hall in Philadelphia. Standing in the shelter of the shed, Franklin and his son William put up the kite. After it had sailed high up over the city, the brass door key was tied to the end of the string. Then the two waited. After a flash of lightning, Franklin touched his knuckles to the key. What do you suppose happened? An electric spark jumped from the key to his hand, and he felt a shock. "There is electricity there, William. There is electricity there," he cried. He had brought electricity down from the clouds and proved that it and lightning were the same thing. The discovery won for him the respect and admiration of all thinking men, both in this country and in Europe. A short time after this, he invented the lightning rod to protect houses during the time of storm. That invention has never been improved upon. It is used today just as when he placed the first rod on his own home. Franklin established a fire company in Philadelphia, the first of its kind in any city in America. His system was very simple. All householders were required to keep several leather buckets filled with water near the door. When the fire bell was rung, all of the citizens rushed out with their buckets. A line was formed quickly between the burning house and a pump, and while one or two strong men pumped, the filled buckets were passed and emptied on the fire. The empty buckets were returned by another line and quickly refilled. In 1754, a convention was called to meet at Albany, New York. The purpose of the meeting was to discuss the French and Indian question and to make a treaty with the chiefs of the Six Nations, a powerful Indian tribe that lived in the Mohawk Valley. Franklin was one of the delegates from Pennsylvania, and he offered a plan of union for the colonies. In his paper, the Pennsylvania Gazette, he printed a picture of a snake cut into 13 pieces, which represented the 13 colonies. Above and below the picture, he had these words, "Unite or die." Although the colonists were in favor of a union, the plan was rejected by the King of England when it was placed before him. The trouble between the colonists and the French and Indians was not settled until a war was fought between them. That war was very expensive, and the English government decided that since the war had been fought for the protection of the colonists, they should pay the cost. Money was to be raised by means of a Stamp Act. The Stamp Act, which was passed by England in 1765, was a direct tax. All newspapers had to be printed on stamped paper. Marriage licenses, mortgages, deeds, and other business papers were to bear a stamp which had to be bought from a government office. The people in the colonies resented the direct tax, saying that their own assemblies and legislatures, whose members they had elected, were the only bodies that had a right to tax them. Franklin made a trip to England to protest against the tax. On his return, he warned the people that they must prepare for war. The discontent grew, and 10 years later, war became necessary. Franklin was a member of the First Continental Congress, which met in Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia. This Congress protested against England's treatment and decided to prepare for war. Franklin was also a member of the Second Continental Congress, which met in Independence Hall, and he helped Thomas Jefferson to draw up the Declaration of Independence. As the members of Congress were signing the document, John Hancock said, "Gentlemen, we must all hang together in this matter." Immediately, Benjamin Franklin replied, "Yes, because if we don't hang together, we will be sure to hang separately." At this time, Franklin was an old man, loved and respected in America and Europe. America needed a friend abroad, and it needed money and troops. Someone had to go to Europe and plead our cause. No one was so well fitted to undertake such an important mission as Benjamin Franklin. In his old age, while a revolution raged in his own country, he went to the court of the King of France. He persuaded that monarch to recognize the struggling colonies and to assist them in their fight for independence. Franklin was very popular in Paris. Crowds cheered him when he appeared and followed him on the streets. His pictures were sold everywhere. He won the sympathy, regard, and support of the French people and helped to win the revolution by his untiring efforts. After the war was won, Franklin represented his country when the Treaty of Peace was signed between the United States of America and England. Soon after his return to this country, he aided in drawing up the Constitution of the United States. Pennsylvania honored him by electing him governor of the state. Throughout the long life of Benjamin Franklin, he had but one motive, and that was to serve. He spent years in the service of his country, and at times neglected his business in order to serve her. He was just as ready to give his time as well as his advice when that was needed. He was not content to have things done in a careless way. He always tried to improve conditions under which he lived. Many of the enterprises and institutions founded by him are still in existence, and they form great memorials to his genius.